Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 87.
Monsieur Le Petit, are you aware of the nickname the people of France have given me?
I have no interest in such things.
But you're aware of what they call me?
I'm aware.
What are you aware of?
That they call you the Gironde?
Precisely.
Hey. 젖가는 소리 좀 그만하세요. 난 이미 졌어. 네가 나 여태까지 데리고 나온 것 같지? 에? 적가고 있네.
I will kill you when you are in the most pain. When you're in the most pain, shivering out of fear, then I will kill you. That's a real revenge. A real, complete revenge. Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Serena Williams.
Hello.
I can't believe I never thought of that before.
I think you've used that one before.
Serena? Like the tennis player?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel bad about myself now. Anyway, in this episode, if you couldn't guess by the amazing quote from one of our movies, we are beginning our new theme of revenge movies. For this first episode, we are discussing the films Inglourious Basterds and I Saw the Devil. Before getting into our discussion, we would love to mention we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your sweet asses to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. Drink, roll call time, Lady Williams.
I am having Svedka vodka and the spicy hot tomato juice. So wow. It's not the mango that I had last time. This is just the straight up regular V8 spicy hot tomato juice. So
maybe if you say spicy hot one more time.
Well, it's spicy and it's hot. So just giving you the full spectrum here.
I guess.
What is it that you're having there, Whole 30?
Well, I am actually drinking Svedka as well.
Whoa.
Bought a bottle of, apparently they wanted to pretend that they weren't Swedish around.
Oh, the USA bottle?
So I have that. You have that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I have. And, I just put some water in there and some
lemon.
Whoa.
Going Katie Cruz style.
Yep.
Smart.
I thought so.
It's kind of honoring her being in the correct state.
Oh my god.
Right?
It's already a hot mess, let me tell you. This Sunday was not pretty.
She's apparently bringing the birds in to destroy you too.
What is happening to my life? That was so frightening this morning.
Yeah. So there you go. If people wanted to check more of that out, they could look at Rachel's Facebook feed.
Yeah. So. I had a Hitchcock moment this morning. Thought I was going to die.
It's pretty interesting. Okay, so our first movie is from 2009. This is Rachel's pick, and it is Inglourious Basterds.
Ten hot!
I'm putting together a special team. We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Sound good?
Yes, sir!
I'm going to assume you know who we are.
Everybody in the German army's heard of you.
Probably heard we ain't in the prisoner taking business. We in the killing Nazi business. And cousin, business is booming. If you ever wanna eat a sauerkraut sandwich again, take your wiener schnitzel lick and finger and point out on this map what I wanna know.
I respectfully refuse.
Hey Donnie! Got some German here wants to die for country. Oblige him.
An American Secret Service outfit lives deep behind enemy lines. The Germans call them the Bastards. These Yanks have been them the devil.
We're all tickled to hear you say that.
The Germans are throwing a gala premiere. In attendance will be most of the German high command.
You'll rendezvous with our double agent. She'll take it from there.
You're getting us in that premiere.
It's suicide.
What else are we gonna do? Go home?
So what's the plan? We punch those goons out, take their machine guns, and burst in there blasting.
Is that the plan?
That's about it. Or not.
There's something you don't know. Hitler is attending the premiere.
Getting a whack Uncle Adolf makes this a horse of different color.
We have all our rotten eggs in one basket. The objective of the operation, blow up the basket.
I want to give you a little something you can't take on.
You're getting pretty good at that. You're now in the hands of the SS. My hands, to be exact.
Yes. In Nazi-occupied France, young Jewish refugee Shoshana witnesses the slaughter of her family by Colonel Hans Landa. Narrowly escaping with her life, she plots her revenge several years later when German war hero Friedrich Zoller takes a rapid interest in her and arranges an illustrious movie premiere at the theater she now runs. With the promise of every major Nazi officer in attendance, the event catches the attention of the Bastards, a group of Jewish-American guerrilla soldiers led by the ruthless Lieutenant Aldo Rain. As the relentless executioners advance and the conspiring young girl's plans are set in motion, their paths will cross for a fateful evening that will shake the very annals of
it. You know, I saw that in there. I was like, this is going to fuck her up.
I was like, annals.
Annals. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's what you missed.
Right?
That's what you messed up, yeah. Okay, so, this is your selection. This is, strangely, our first Quentin Tarantino movie that we've done.
Really?
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah, I would have expected us to do one before this.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been 3 years and we've only done just as the first one. But, so anyway, why Inglourious Basterds? When did you see this? Did you go to the movies to see it?
Okay, if we're going to be full disclosure here, because we're talking about the annals of history.
Yep.
I watched the beginning of this one time and fell asleep. Because I was tired, not because it was bad. But, I mean, all I wanted to hear was Brad Pitt say, killing Nazis. And the rest pretty much was just background.
That's what you came for, and you made it to that point, and then you're like, I'm good. I'm taking a nap.
So then I just decided that I should probably rewatch it and give it a fair shake. So that's why I picked it.
Okay. I also did not go to the theater to see this. I actually have never been to a movie theater to see a Quentin Tarantino film.
Wow, you're just slamming him down, aren't you?
Apparently. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it's because I was kind of late to the party. I think Pulp Fiction was my first exposure. And I just kind of had experienced all of his films via DVD.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of used to it. I mean, when I see all of his films, I've seen them in a certain way, and I don't feel like I've really missed out on much. And so I'm like, well, whatever, you know, I didn't go see Django in the theater either. So this is the
only... you know, I did. Oh, so did you? I feel good about. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. You're one up in me.
Yes.
Jesus, first whole 30. Now this.
Boom.
So I saw it before, and then it, of course, rewatching it. So what did you think of your selection?
It was every Tarantino thing I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
Actually, I thought there'd be more blood, but there wasn't really. I guess there was some blood, but. Not like spurting blood, you know, like his favorite thing to do.
Not like our second film?
Right. We'll get to that. But I liked it. I think the idea of the Inglourious Basterds is wonderful. And, I mean, obviously, he just decided to say fuck it and just rewrite history, which I just appreciated. So, yeah. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I can see where you would appreciate that. You know what? I'm just going to make my story how I want it to
be. Everyone.
Yeah.
Let's just do this.
Right. I think coming out of the film, the most attention went to Christoph Waltz, to playing Hans Landa.
Sure.
winning an Oscar and having it be the first acting role from Tarantino's direction to win an Oscar. I think he was kind of the standout. And what I like about him is there are times when he's very charming.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, you know, it's not like I think, oh, he's a nice guy, or wouldn't this be a fun guy to hang out with? But it makes me think that he's just...
I would do a night
with him. It just makes me think that he's a guy that's really good at what he does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the... I mean, even the beginning scene, you can tell that he's not a run in and like shoot up the floorboards. He's like very meticulous and he's very smart and like, you know, he catches on to things very quickly, like in the bar scene. He's just kind of a guy not to be fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that beginning sequence too. And I think it's really disarming because you are given a good stretch of that first scene where it's just all acting and there's no Quentin Tarantino-isms, I guess. Okay. You know, there's not a lot of like Madonna's big dick type discussion. There's no like fancy camera work really.
Right.
It's just two actors acting and one of them doing the majority of the talking. And I just thought that I really was kind of like, oh, well, this is going to be something different when I saw that scene.
But you were wrong.
And I was kind of wrong, yeah. I think that that's for me, the standout of the film is that first scene. Like, I really appreciated that a lot, you know, especially with him. And I don't know that I even got this the first time, but, you know, he calls out Shoshana. Sheesh, that's hard for me to say. But anyway, that'd be many, many takes of me trying to yell that in the distance. But having him say, you know, say her name and let her go, and then obviously she comes back and is the owner of this theater and is sort of the downfall of Germany towards the end of the film. It's just kind of like a nice little movie moment, you know, like it's one of those things where I think it's Hollywood at work, even though I think normally when I say that, it's a negative connotation. But right. There it's kind of like, oh, that's nice. See how it all comes back around. Like, see how it's, you know, she was the one who was involved and she was let go at the beginning.
Yeah. That kind of thing. That's what you got to watch out for, the runners, you know.
Got to watch out for them. Yeah. They're crafty. So, okay, so let's talk about Brad Pitt.
All right.
So in the trailer, it's mostly just Brad Pitt and his speech.
Killing Nazis. Right?
Killing Nazis and having his Tennessean accent. I'm assuming by your conversation that worked for you quite well.
I mean, you know, when we've talked about this before, some of Brad Pitt's movies, it's Brad Pitt doing different accents, and that's adorable. And that's what this obviously was. Like, I wasn't like, oh my god, is he really from Tennessee? Because he is killing it.
Yeah.
Who's
this unknown person? He must be straight from Tennessee.
Yeah. I wonder if he can do a British accent. But, I was already, like, in on the whole thing, like, with them doing all that fun scalping and all that shit. So, I was just jumping in on it, and I thought the accent was fun, if not overly ridiculous, but it made me laugh, made me smile. So,
that's good.
I'm trying to do Italian stuff, because that's ridiculous.
Now, the Italian stuff I quite enjoyed when they were doing that later.
Right.
Like, I thought that was really funny when he was doing that.
He knows Italian? I don't know any Italian. I said the least amount of Italian.
Yeah, I said you were third best or whatever.
Third best, that's right.
when he's doing that speech, like when I see that in the trailer, I'm like, ah, okay, yeah, that's fun. Killing Nazis, you know, and this time when I saw it, I was like, ah, just get this scene over with. Like, I just don't.
Cause it's so overdone.
It's just so precious with how it's like, oh, look, it's Brad Pitt and he's doing a funny voice. That's the way that I took it.
What it is.
Yeah. So, I'm like, okay. And the rest of the film, I don't have near as much problems with, but it's that beginning sequence where I'm just like, all right, we have, and I understand that it's for a purpose, but we have this kind of unimpressive looking group of smallish Jewish men.
Right.
Including, you know, BJ Novak from The Office. And,
right, he's so cute.
Yeah, and, I forget his name, but he was from Freaks and Geeks. And he's the little short...
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Kind of pudgier one.
Right.
Sam Levine.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like, oh, all right. Like, I don't know if this is really my thing. And, you know, we have Eli Roth, the horror director, playing Donnie Donovitz, the Jew bear with the bat. And he's kind of, you know, trying to do his crazy face. And it just, I don't know. It's that section struck me really as like B-movie style.
Okay, I can see that.
You know, and it's not like Tarantino shies away from that kind of thing, really,
right,
I don't think.
Right.
And so one of the things that's interesting before we move on and I forget about it is that the character that Eli Roth was going – or that he played was originally approached – he originally approached Adam Sandler to play that role.
Wow, I am really glad that didn't pan out.
And so he was supposed to be – the fucking Jew bear, Adam Sandler. But Funny People, I think, is the film that came out. He couldn't make that work schedule-wise, so he couldn't do it.
He wasn't planning Pixels yet?
No, boy. That looks like an absolute piece of garbage.
Shit.
So anyway, so that sequence, I was kind of like, I don't know. And it just kind of like, as we went, I started... you know, I guess I should say, like, I don't know that I said this, but I enjoyed the movie. Like, I had a good time with the movie.
Right.
There were things that I thought worked much, much better than other things. And the Brad Pitt stuff didn't work for me mostly.
Okay.
The Christoph Waltz stuff did work for me. And the, I think if it's not the beginning, my other favorite sequence is the basement sequence. With
the bar?
Yeah, with Michael Fassbender.
So, like, full of tension. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I remember when I first watched that, I was sitting in a regular, like in a chair, not like on a couch, you know, like in a sofa, like in a recliner chair. And I remember watching that, and I remember gripping the arms of the chair, because I was like, oh, fuck, they're going to get caught. They're going to, you know, because whether it's the drunk guy that won't leave them alone, or whether it's the officer that comes in from the hall, and once he noticed something, I was like, oh shit, he figured something out. Like, what is it that he figured out?
Right.
You know, and it's...
And I thought it was so clever that that's what it was. Something so small.
Yeah, something that is so culturally specific.
Right.
Like that, apparently. So...
Yeah,
so I really liked that. I thought that the, you know, the first time I watched it, I thought that the movie was long. Because I remember feeling like, God, this is going on a long time.
Right? I fell asleep.
Right. This time around, I was like, okay, I am appreciating the pace a little bit more. Like I don't know if I just didn't fully understand what was happening.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah. I think we were on the same page there.
Yeah. Because I think that, you know, it is worth noting that there is probably more than, I would say close to half of the film is in subtitles. It's not in English. It's either in German or French.
Yeah.
And the little bit of Italian there. So I don't know. I just thought that, you know, I guess I must have just not been able to keep up. Here on IMDb trivia, it says roughly only 30% of the film is spoken in English. So there you go.
I didn't really notice that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like really like daunting for me to have to like read a bunch of crap. But like I don't know. I guess this one I didn't really notice.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I was like, I think maybe since it started out in French with that opening.
Your native language.
Yeah. Which I'm so familiar with. I was like, oh man, this just sounds.
This is amazing.
So I do also wanted to mention the way that people are killed. So. We have some fairly major characters in the movie, like some major actors, including Brad Pitt, like we already mentioned.
Right.
We do have Michael Fassbender, like we just said, who is, you know, a big deal now, or bigger deal now. And so we have these then we have these main characters in terms of their importance to the story. And I really, really enjoyed how they were just killed and we move on. And we don't kind of have like some sort of heroic moment. We don't have some like slow motion death sequence to where they're like firing one last bullet or something. And they just kind of, you know, like Michael Fassbender's character gets killed and they just don't really mention him anymore. And
I mourned.
And the German guy that was in the prison, and then they free and then is part of the Bastards. He it seemed like he was going to have a main role and he's killed, and that's, you know, obviously that's the end of him. And they just kind of go through people real quick. And then when we finally have the climactic sequence, we have Hitler being shot to shit. That dummy is just full of bullets.
To be fair, the projector shooting scene did get a little slow-mo take.
Oh, that's true. Melanie Laurent, yes. That's
what, yeah, cause I didn't see that coming, I guess, because I thought he'd just be some idiot and roll over and die, but...
Yeah, the guy that played the hero, that played Frederick Zoller, right. Yeah. And that, I think, you know, that was a sequence, that was a section of the movie that I really didn't understand to begin with.
Like the that he had a crush on her?
Well, that he had a crush and then he was a big deal, but he was still still a private.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then they were making all of these adjustments and it was going to be a big deal. Like, I guess I must have just glossed over it and been like, yeah, whatever,
they're showing a movie.
They're showing a movie, who cares, whatever. That's kind of what I think I must have thought the first time.
That's what I think my whole life. Whatever.
Whatever. Sorry about it. And then also Diane Kruger playing Von Hammersmark.
Yes.
Right? Like her being shot and killed and that...
Strangled. Didn't she get strangled?
Oh, yeah. She was strangled. She was shot and not killed. And then Waltz gets her later.
Right? What a D-bag. See? And that's creepy, too. Like, he takes her and is talking to her and just being super charming, casual, asks to see her foot, which that's when it gets weird, and then he puts the shoe, he makes her take her own shoe out, like, that's fucked up. He does some fucked up shit. I'm just
yeah. Like, and I was like, God, that is the biggest pocket ever. Because, right? First of all, it's got a shoe completely hidden in there. And she's like rooting around and like can't find the shoe.
Right, it's like the Mary Poppins bag or something.
Apparently, I'm like, Jesus. She's got a fucking purse on each side of this coat, apparently. But so that was quite the thing. So yeah, we have, you know, we do have, I guess it's the two women who are killed a little bit more, and get a little bit more screen time. Like, okay. It's a little bit longer of a sequence, I guess, in comparison to some of the other guys that we had mentioned. And then, like I said, we have the sort of hyper-violent Quentin Tarantino of it all, to where someone's not just shot once. I mean, they are just riddled with bullets.
Well, I mean, to be fair, how many people wanted to shoot Hitler in the face multiple times? I mean, I feel like that was, like, a revenge for everyone. You know what I mean? To see that.
How do you think that since this is our theme, how do you think that the revenge worked out? Like, were you satisfied by they're like, okay, well, she was able to burn down the theater and get her revenge, and then it blew up after he'd already been killed. So he's like, Hitler's on fire, and then it's blown up after he's shot a shitload.
Yeah, but I mean, not only did she get Hitler, she got all of those German sympathizers. I think that was the whole point, was to get everybody.
Sure.
Like all those, whatever the hell they were doing in there.
But so overall, though, did you feel like, all right, I'm feeling good about the way that the story went? Like, there's no hanging, like, there's no sort of sense of, oh man, they didn't actually get him or anything like that. With this
no,
film.
I mean, they did get him. They got everyone.
That's what I'm saying. So did you feel good about that or what?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Why did you not?
No, I felt fine. I was just.
When I thought you were trying to set me up, like, I wish they would have killed more people. I'm like, I don't know who else they could have fucking killed.
No, I was just hoping for you to, I was just trying to get you to be more adamant about it, that's
except
all.
Except for three people. Yeah, of course. I mean, locking a bunch of people in a movie theater and setting it on fire is probably, you know, a pretty legit revenge on somebody you want to kill.
I feel like you could probably, like, that might be something that you would dream up. Because they would have movies in there, you know.
But my cut to with my face and my monologue would be way longer. Like a lot more interpretive dance.
At the very beginning, it'd be like, Brad, turn that off. I don't have my pants on yet.
Right? Or just keep it on. I don't give a shit.
Like, all right, all right. Now I'm ready.
Right.
Did you start it or?
And Brad's like, oh my God, I'm already done. I'm done with this.
Is this going? Rachel, it's already going. Just fucking start doing it. Huh? All right. It'd be just like that. It'd be good, though. He would probably Ron Burgundy you, too.
Oh, I don't know if he would be that. Yeah, he would.
Depends on his level of interest.
Right?
In the whole thing.
So how about the revenge on whatever the... What's his name?
Hans? Landa? Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because, like, he just totally was like, I'm gonna flip sides. I'm gonna do this.
He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'll just, you know, it'll be no big deal.
Turn everyone in. And for a while, I'm like, oh, I was like, fuck this guy. He's like, I get it, you helped, but you, like, you didn't help for so many other things.
Yeah, I was, boy, I was like, yeah, get him. And then when they show that certain shot of the...
Knife?
Of the knife cutting him. I was like, oh, gross. Like, ooh, I don't like this.
I did the look away for sure.
Well, I did the gas face, like, ah, yuck. It was unpleasant.
But I think it was totally apropos what they did.
Well, sure, and I'm glad that they did that to the earlier, you know, in the earlier sequence, so it was, we knew what it looked like after the fact and all that.
Right, right, so, yeah.
Yeah, so it was definitely set up well. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is this is a movie with a lot of spies in it, and the spies are not very good. And I don't think we see that often in a film that's not a comedy, where there's a lot of spying and a lot of pretending to be someone else, and then
right.
People find them out, like, right away.
Right.
And I'm like, that's kind of interesting, because, you know, they're trying to be Italian, nobody buys that. He's trying to be German. Fassbender is. They figure that out. You know, it's just like they're, and obviously Waltz was going to pretend like he was on the U.S.'s side, and they make sure that that doesn't happen. But
right.
I just thought that that was kind of interesting. It's like, well, all the spies here are terrible.
Really shitty spies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where is, like, James Bond and shit?
Where's Chevy Chase? I mean, Spies Like Us should have been.
That's what you pull from that? All the movies in the world, and that's the one that you use.
Spy comedy.
Okay. Spomedy.
That's a new section. A new section of film right there. Spomedy. Interesting. All right, well, anything else about Inglourious Basterds? What do you think about it not being spelled right?
I don't understand. I'm sorry. It must be over my head.
Yeah, I should look this up, because I'm sure I'll get killed by somebody about it. But I think it's just a mistake that wasn't caught. And that seems so simple, though.
What? No way.
Because it's Bastards, and it should be with an A, but it's with an E.
Maybe it's like the old...
And they said it was like an homage to the earlier film that this is based on, or something. And then Quentin Tarantino was just basically said, well, I'm not going to explain it to you when people ask him the questions. And it's like, well, it seems like somebody fucked it up then to me.
No way. That is so impossible. How many people would think that Bastards was misspelled like that?
I don't know. I don't understand why it's there then.
People in editing and all that shit. Nobody caught it.
Then why is it misspelled?
Because it's Quentin Tarantino. He does weird things.
Because he's like, look, I want it spelled with an E. Forget about it.
Yeah, of course. And they're like, are you sure? Because everyone's going to ask you about it. And then he's going to be like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Because in the film, when you have the subtitles, the bastard spelled properly.
Okay, well, I hope that we figure it out. I feel like this will be our next quest.
I guess on the...
He is not an A.
On the movie poster, it's spelled Bastards. A Bastard's work is never done. So maybe they called themselves the Inglourious Basterds, and that's the way they spelled it.
That seems a bit more plausible than nobody caught a spelling error.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. Right. Shit. You know, it's one of those things that didn't really bug me, and now it's starting to bug me. So there you go. So anything else there, Cruiser?
No.
All right, let's move on to what is probably going to be your least, your new least favorite movie of all time. But before that, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So our next film, thank you. Our next film is my pick. It's a movie I've been just itching to make Rachel watch. It is from 2010, and it is I Saw the Devil.
The douchebag from Old Boy is a dangerous psychopath who kills for human meat. He has committed infernal serial murders in diabolic ways that one cannot even imagine, and his victims range from young women to children. The police have chased him for a long time but were unable to catch him. One day, the daughter of a retired police chief becomes his prey and is found dead in a horrific state. Her fiancé, a top secret agent, decides to track down the murderer himself. He promises himself he will do everything in his power to take bloody vengeance against the killer, even if it means he must become a monster himself. Himself.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a lot of himselfs in there.
Yeah.
I don't think they read that out loud to themselves. Hey-o, there. I love it when a joke actually lands. When
right?
I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for this joke, and then it works out. Yeah. So, okay, so this is I Saw the Devil. I saw this one time on... Such a dumb way to say that. I came across this movie on Netflix, and I had heard it reviewed on Film Spotting SVU, which stands for Streaming Video Unit, which is a joke with the Law and Order SVU.
Got it.
Just making sure.
Okay.
I wasn't going to go and try to go two for two on the jokes there. So
okay, thank God.
Yeah, it's making sure you were aware that I wasn't making a joke.
Okay.
So anyway. They reviewed the movie and it sounded interesting to me, so I watched it and was kind of horrified and entertained and all of those wonderful things that I think that Korean cinema can do.
Horror-tained.
New shelf right next to Spomedy. So when we were talking about, you know, we've gone through horror films, we've gone through a lot of different themes that this movie could fit into. And I never felt like they were quite right, and so I didn't want to pick the movie, but I knew that it was streaming on Netflix. I knew that it was a movie that was going to be challenging, to say the least, in terms of what your taste in film
tolerance.
Is. Your tolerance. That's a good way to put it. And so when we decided on revenge movies, I was like, oh, well, this has got to be it. This is the right way to make this happen. And so I saw The Devil, Rachel Cruz, Rachel Zelig, whatever. Is this better or worse for you than Old Boy?
Better.
You enjoyed it more, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. You know, and I did say, because Anel and I talked about this before recording, and I did say that I thought that you were going to enjoy it more than Old Boy.
Why would you think that?
I thought that because Old Boy, I feel like you were going along with the movie more than this one, and then the way that it ends is such a repulsive way to end the film, and it's almost like you feel like you've been cheated almost. I think you feel like you were cheated at the right. way that movie ends. And yeah. so I think this movie, it sets up exactly what it is right from the beginning,
yep.
and it's gross and it's tough to sit through, but it is what it is at the very beginning.
Yes, and this, I mean, has a storyline, I guess, more than, okay. you know, this is more of a thinker piece. Then I know that that's probably not how a lot of people describe this movie.
Man, I saw The Devil. That is a thinker.
That is Inception shit right there. but it gives you more to think about than Old Boy, which is what the fuck are people doing there? Why is this? What is he? Where's his tongue? And then that's it.
I feel like this has a much simpler plot. It's a guy's done a bad thing, and this other guy's gonna beat the shit out of him.
But I mean, like. You know? As far as, like, because, I mean, one of the reasons that I, because, okay, let's just keep going and spoil shit, but he finds him, like, 20 minutes into the movie.
Yes, one of my main notes, right.
And I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck is he going to do from now on? And then after that, to me, is when it got a lot more interesting, because I'm like, you can just see this guy's, like, downward spiral and him, like, mentally trying to, like, plow through it, like, he can tell that he's getting, like, worse, quote-unquote, turning into a monster, blah, blah, blah. Like, he does not give a shit. And, you know, a lot of people would, you know, not do what he did in the first place or do what he did differently, like, show up and shoot the guy in the head
mm-hmm.
you know, and be done with it. But, like, there are just a lot. I was thinking a lot of those things while I was watching this, which is one of the reasons, I mean, one of the many reasons why I like it more than Old Boy.
Okay, what would you say, like, how did you like it overall, I would say, is the question I have for you.
I mean...
Because it's definitely not a movie that you're going to sit down and be like, you know what, I feel like I saw The Devil.
You know what I'm going to put on while I'm cleaning? You know what I'm going to put on that?
I'm just going to throw it on. You know, I've got some stuff to read. I'll just have it on in the background.
Yeah, I wish there was a musical. I could pull little sing songs in there. I mean, it was tough to digest, and yeah. I went on a rant a couple times in my notes.
Oh, interesting.
But, I mean, it stuck with me, and I can't even give it a number because I don't really know what to tell you, but I did not regret watching it.
Nice. All right. Good. Good, good. I feel like, here's the thing. What I think is interesting is I feel like if you hadn't seen Old Boy, you may have not liked this at all.
Oh, I mean, there are parts of this where I was like plainly disgusted.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Where I was like, this is like a lot of these things are really gross, but, yes, and I'm not going to give that fucking pile of shit any credit, but knowing what I knew at the time, yes, I probably more easily watched this because of that joke.
Sure. Okay, so I think I enjoy this fine. Like, it's not a movie, I don't hold it in as high esteem as Old Boy. I think that we are closer together on this movie than we are on Old Boy, obviously. But here, I feel like because it's a more straightforward revenge movie, like I don't quite connect with it as much as me trying to, like, you know, peel the onion and figure out what Old Boy is.
Really? Because I'm totally the other way around.
Like, I know.
I was peeling the onion from his brain, like, wondering what he was thinking.
Sure. Oh, sure. I mean, I get that for the... I think Anel called him the good-looking one.
Yes, he very much was. And he's in something else now. Terminator?
Oh, is that right? Oh, he's the bad guy in Terminator.
Yeah, and I saw him in Terminator, and I walked in, and I was like, is that the same guy? It might be the same guy. I'm going to have to look it up. And it totally was, so...
He's also Storm Shadow in the G.I. Joe movies.
Yeah, I never saw that.
I don't see... Actually, he's... I don't think he is the guy. He's not the guy in Terminator.
He's in a new movie coming out, because I saw a trailer for it and recognized...
Oh, there it is. I'm sorry.
Is he?
Yeah, Terminator Genesis. He's the T-1000.
Boom!
I figured that would be one of the top ones, but he's got a lot of movies going on.
That's because he's the good-looking one.
He's in the remake of The Magnificent Seven, and he's in a movie called Beyond Deceit and Memories of the Sword. All were higher up than Terminator Genesis, which with the funny spelling, which is ridiculous.
Glorious Bastards.
Gen I S Y S.
Tarantino involved in the spelling of
that's this. Stupid. So anyway. Okay, so I didn't love the movie, but I really enjoyed it, and obviously that's why I picked it. I really liked seeing, it's Min Sik Choi, I think is how you say his name, but he's Odai Su from Old Boy, the main character. I liked seeing him in a completely different role.
I didn't.
Because in Old Boy, you know, he's the guy that you're following. You're like, why the fuck? What's going on to this poor guy? You know, et cetera. Here, you're like, oh, this is one of the worst people I've ever seen on screen. Like, but he is awful.
I mean, I hate paralleling, but in Old Boy, he was still a pile of crap.
Oh, yeah, he's still not a good guy. And you know something that I didn't necessarily write this down, but I was kind of, like, wavering back and forth to whether I really felt this or not. But I think that it's interesting having him be so despicable, because I think that the way that his dialogue is, if it's played in a different way, he could be kind of... not a likable character, certainly, because of the way that he acts, but he says a lot of things that would play as almost comedic or almost like, oh, this guy just does what he wants. And when I think of that the most is when he's in the pharmacy and he's just telling off like the old guy.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing happens because he goes and tries to rape the nurse or what have you. But he's just like, you know, saying that old people don't have any respect, and why is he talking to him this way, and this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, if this is played in a different way, I could see this being a likable character in this sequence.
Yeah, just that scene. But yeah. By the time you get to that scene, you already know how, like, horrible and disgusting he is. So I wasn't even thinking of that.
Well, it was weird because I had seen the movie, and I was just watching the scene going, I don't know why, but I can see, you know, I didn't know why it was in the movie, basically. Like, I didn't know why he wasn't, yeah, like, horrible to the guy, but he was aggressive and, like, was almost going to hurt him.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, I don't know, like, he could, are they trying to make him somewhat sympathetic? Because the other guy doesn't talk hardly at all. You know, your Secret Service agent or your secret agent or whatever he is, he hardly talks, and you don't know a ton about his character. He's just kind of like he's a cipher for revenge, and he's just out to punish this guy.
Right.
And so I just thought that was kind of strange. I think that there are few things that are scarier to me than when someone would come up to a car door or window and just look inside.
Yeah.
Like if you're just in the car on the phone and someone just comes up and starts looking at you through the window, that fucking freaks me out.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So in that opening sequence, I was like, oh, no, no, no. Just go away.
This is why you learn to change your own tire.
That's right. So I mean, you're a Nebraska girl.
Yeah, I've changed plenty of my own tires. Put the fucking donut on and get going.
That's right. I mean, how hard is it?
It's not hard.
You've got a spare, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You've got a tool in the back that has one purpose.
Right, and I'm sure that your Japanese car is like, super lightweight or
yeah,
whatever.
I was gonna say it's like 200 pounds. Just right. Pick it up and change it.
That was my lesson learned for that. Change your own tire and be on your way.
There you go. Yeah, so I thought that you know that that sequence was obviously brutal, and it kind of, what I liked about it is, well, what I thought was effective about it.
There you go.
Is that the death wasn't real quick, and it wasn't a lot of, like slicing of the throat and then they're dead, or shooting them and then they're dead. It was a lot of just like banging on their heads with things.
Yeah.
And they continued that throughout the movie. And that was, I mean, you know, I bang my head on stuff a lot of times. And so just to imagine just getting beat in the head with, you know, a pipe or whatever is handy.
Yeah.
In a lot of the case, I was like, oh my God. And especially when they're, when the secret agent is in the house with the cannibal.
The other guy,
the kind of chubbier faced guy.
Yeah.
He's like bashing him in the head and there's like a cut and it's spurting out. Ooh. Stuff like that. I was like, oh goodness. Like it doesn't bother me when someone bleeds from the stomach or from their face even, but seeing like the top of their head bleed. Oh yuck. That really does it to me.
So did you like the scalping in Inglourious Basterds then?
I thought that was really gross too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sick. Especially the way how easy it was just
right
off. I was like, oh,
skinning
no.
a rabbit.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate that too much. I did have in my notes that I really did appreciate how the reveal that it is this guy. He's got all of these bras and shoes, and he's got this cabinet that's, you know, suspiciously locked up.
Right.
Like, well, clearly there's some shit in your cabinet. But I really liked how that, and then the sort of saving from the rape and the battle in the
greenhouse.
The greenhouse. Yeah, I liked how that was about halfway into the movie. Because that's typically your climactic scene.
Right.
You know, he's like gotta go throughout this entire process and then find the killer.
Well, and you see the obvious guy and he's like the red herring, you know, like he's trying to track this guy down and it turns out to be like someone completely different. Bum, bum, bum. And it just wasn't. It was this creepy guy.
Yeah. It's just like, no, it's just this dude. But I do like how it does get into that idea of revenge is not just killing this guy, you know, to your main character. It's about making him pay for what he's done. And making him suffer as much as possible. That's why he tears his Achilles.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was rough. That's why he, you know, breaks his arm and just breaks basically everything and everybody around.
I was just like, cause I was like, okay, he's going to shoot him. And then I don't know what the hell the rest of the,
yeah,
is. I guess, and that's when I was like, I was thinking two things. Cause like, I'm like, well, first I was thinking, shoot him in the face. What are you doing? And then, you know, he doesn't. And the first thing I thought of was, like, smart, respect, you know, keep it going. But then after that, I'm like, seems exhausting. You're just prolonging it for yourself to, like, just shoot him in the face and get it over with. Do your jail time or whatever and get out. I guess I didn't understand.
Yeah. But, well, I think that it's a thing where, you know, it's almost like for me a sports analogy to where it's like he's up on this guy. Like he's able to beat him up whenever he wants.
Right.
He's able to do to him whatever he wants to do. And then when the bad guy figures out that he's got a tracker in him, in a disgusting scene of him sifting through his poop.
Right.
And when he figures that out, then I have this sort of overreaction of, oh no, like, oh no, now you did it.
Right?
You know, like, oh shit. And before he was just kind of like a cat playing with him.
Yeah, but even when he had that tracker in, he let him kill people. He let him like, he let him do gross things to that nurse before he rescued her.
Oh,
if I was that fucking nurse and I found out that he was just letting this guy, I would stab that guy.
What are you doing, guy?
Like,
you jerk.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what, you know, his idea was, but like, he's ruining other people's lives by not just finishing the job. And that's where I got kind of pissed at that guy.
Sure, sure.
Good looking one.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, he is, I mean, it's definitely an act of being selfish.
Yeah.
You know, because he doesn't give a shit about what happens to, like, the pharmacy owner,
yeah.
the taxi driver, the guy in the backseat who I believe was a cop. But that was a sequence where that was one of the few times where I was like, whoa, how in the hell did they do this? Because they kept having the camera spin around that sequence.
In the taxi. Everyone was getting stabbed.
God, and there's blood everywhere. And the stabbing in films where it's just like one big stab and it's all the way in.
Right.
That doesn't really freak me out. But when you're there just stabbing them over and over. That really gets me.
I've seen that too, like short stabs. I was like, oh my god, every time. Gotta just kill.
Yeah, because the very Mandarin looking the taxi driver, he's like very stereotypical looking to me. He looks like an old timey Chinese man. You know, the taxi driver
like
that keeps
the one that said you're lucky or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy. Because he's got like the little mustache on the corners of his mouth. And so he looks very stereotypical, but when he's getting stabbed, you know, he's getting stabbed and it's just a little knife, so he's like, oh fuck, dude, that hurts, you know.
Right.
But he's not killed right away, and so he's like fucking around with him, and there's all this other stabbing going on, and he gets stabbed in the throat, and I'm like, oh, this is too much. This is uncomfortable to watch. So what did you think then when he gets away and he goes to the good looking one's house? His dad's house.
Oh, and he hurts the dad.
Yeah, and he keeps, and the thing there is he's beating the dad with a weight on the head.
Yes.
And I was like, oh no.
He like goes into his refrigerator and drinks his like Japanese Gatorade or whatever.
Yeah, it was like, I thought it was some kind of like carbonated seaweed, because it was green looking.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but. Right.
I mean, at that point, I had already, like, I don't want to say turned against, but, like, I had already thought that good-looking guy had gone too far.
Mm.
And so I'm like, well, you fucking did this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So by that point, I mean, obviously, I felt bad for, you know, everybody involved, but, I mean, I guess it was, like, learned your hard lesson.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so I was... It's weird, like, I would have been okay if we panned down and the dad's already dead.
Right?
Right. But the fact that he's not dead, and it's this old, feeble guy, and he's, like, beating him on the head with this heavy weight.
Right.
I was like, oh, no, like, this is worse than if he was already dead.
After he, like, tried to talk him out of, you know, like, stop doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Oof. And so we, you know, we eventually get to the final sequence. And, you know, he's got them all trussed up, and he delivers the good-looking one, delivers the line that I had Rachel read at the beginning.
He was good.
And I don't think he quite did it as good as you, but
that's, right. Well,
that's
I
debatable.
Mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He had that masculine tone, a little different. But anyway, so he delivers that line, and we have the guy from Old Boy who's begging for his life. And then he puts his head down, and then he basically says, like, fuck you. Like, you're not breaking me. Like, this isn't affecting me. You know, you can't do anything to me. And that was one of the things where I was like, oh, my God, this fucking guy. Like, just put him, just get rid of him.
Cut his tongue out.
Yeah. Oh, and that's funny. Like, I immediately, of course, thought of you because, you know, we have him, you know, the good-looking one. For those that haven't seen it and aren't planning on seeing it, the good-looking one basically ties a lot of rope around the guy's tongue, and he makes him bite into this, like a string or whatever, and that's connected to the door, and then the door is connected to a guillotine. And the good-looking one has a taxi bring the guy from Old Boy's parents and the guy from Old Boy's son.
Yeah.
To the house. And they're like, oh, the old ones are here. You know, this kind of thing. And he's like, don't you open that fucking door. You know. And obviously they don't know. And eventually they start trying to open it. And it starts like pulling out his tongue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a Z-lag. Right there. Pulling a Z-lag. Leave that tongue alone. So.
I mean, it was warranted this time.
Yeah, really.
I was like, fucking do it. I don't care.
I was just waiting for it to, at the end, to have, like, the tongue in view and it to be out of his mouth or something. And then
I would have screened. Like, to Rachel on it.
Yeah, I would have screenshotted that and had that be, like, your Facebook picture or something.
Ugh.
but yeah, so, you know, obviously they break through because, of course, they're going to in this movie. And he gets his head cut off and his head rolls to the feet of his family.
Head for a head.
Yeah, which is essentially what, you know, what...
the wife.
What happened to
what's
the...
What's in the box?
Yeah, very similar to the what's in the box, that sort of thing, as we're on the Brad Pitt kick. So, yeah, so, I mean, I felt frustrated by the guy because, you know, he's not a perfect guy, the good-looking one, and so he was asking a little bit much, you know, to have this go on so long without...
Right. I mean, I feel like he overindulged, I guess, is mm-hmm. a word I would
but
use.
But that's probably the point, right? It's like, right. Be careful of how much, you know, in a world of revenge movies... It's like, be careful of how much revenge you really want or how much you're going to put aside what's good for everyone else and only focus on yourself.
Right, because once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, it's like Pringles like that.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, so I'm glad that we made that through in a fairly peaceful manner, Cruz.
You thought I was just going to scream swear words at you?
I don't know, I just thought you were going to be like, I'm fucking stupid, fucking hated it.
Well, I mean, I did hate a lot of parts of it. Like one of my rants was when he's, like, trying to rape that girl, and he's, like, just
which,
because...
Which time?
The girl in the greenhouse.
In the greenhouse, okay.
He's, like, I have something... He said something like, I can like whoever I want.
Oh, yeah.
And I just went off, and I was, like, this fucking mentality is what gets, like, I don't know.
Is why real people get raped?
Yes, and I was just super angry about it, and I was like, I wrote like half a page on, like, immediately why, like, I didn't like him before, but I immediately hated him there.
Mm.
Like, he just has that mentality that, like, I see a girl that I think is attractive and I can, like, do whatever the fuck I want to her. Like, I would cut your balls off or stab any part of your genitalia.
It'd be like the guy at the beginning. When he's searching through and he bashes his balls.
Yeah, only worse. Like, I would find a way to make it worse.
You know, what's funny is we have these two movies and there's ball bashing in both of them. Because in that basement, the guy gets shot in the balls.
That's right.
And then this guy gets, I think, stabbed in the balls or something. Or no, he gets, like, something heavy smashed on him a couple times or something like that.
Which would hurt, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Yeah, which would not feel good. Do you have anything else in your ranty notes?
I mean, that it was basically like this is the worst person ever. He like embodies everything I hate about people.
Mm.
So no, I mean, it would just be more of the same.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, you know, I would say that I think that the movie, whether you enjoyed it, whether that's a term that you could use, I think it accomplished what it was trying to accomplish, though, right? Like, because it
right.
It created a visceral reaction from you.
Right. I would never use the E word for this movie, but it, like I said, I was thinking about it later, and it at least caused me my, you know, thought juices to flow. So instead of just hating horribly on it.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm glad that I picked that one. It's one that, you know, I think that we are a little... I think, for me, it gets a little long in terms of the... I think it's maybe like one sequence too many on the
right.
Them beating him up and that kind of thing. But anyway, I enjoy the movie fine, and if people haven't checked it out, they could find both of these on Netflix Instant, and they're both pretty graphic in different ways. So
right.
Why don't you... sorry?
We did forget how he, like, swept him into that car. That was pretty legit.
Oh, that was pretty legit. I did like that. Yeah. I, you know, the thing that gets me every time, though, is that freaking, is the Achilles heel deal.
Yeah, I cannot handle that. What was the other one? Pet Cemetery?
Pet Cemetery, yeah.
Fucking creepers hiding under the bed.
Sometimes dead is better. That's with the Rachel.
No, I know. I know that's in there. Okay?
Just reminding. Just keep it in front of mind.
Right.
All right, why don't you wrap us up here, Cruz?
Fine. If you have comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZLag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show, search Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a bit, you could head over to Amazon and search for our wish list. It's full of our movies, equipment we want, and a bunch of other goodies if you're in the giving mood. Just search for our wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more revenge movies.